This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
China announced a change in tariff rates on imported goods from around the world that will start on January 1. The country will lower tariffs on global imports in a move that's designed to give domestic consumers some support, even as a trade truce with the U.S. takes some pressure off the Chinese economy. The New York Times says the move comes less than 2 weeks after China and the United States reached a Phase 1 trade deal. It also helps China by showing that the country is continuing to open up its market in spite of the more than year-long conflict with the U.S. However, China's economy still has some question marks to deal with as it tries to recover from a slowdown brought on by the tariff conflict. The deal with the U.S. hasn't been signed yet, and that means a lot of tariffs on American imports are still in place. China is opening its market to other countries to help satisfy consumer demand. A list of 859 products will face lower tariffs in 2020. Among the goods are frozen pork, which China has to have after its pig herds were decimated by African swine fever. Tariffs will also fall on grocery items such as avocados, orange juice, and seafood. China's top agriculture consultancy said last week as well that it believes China can and will make good on a promise to purchase more than $40 billion in U.S. ag products per year. That pledge is part of the Phase 1 trade deal the two countries recently signed. Reuters says China will increase its agricultural purchases to anywhere between $40 and $50 billion over the next 2 years. The deal is not signed yet, and that's led to skepticism over whether China can handle purchases that large. Shanghai-based consultant group JCI released a document saying that the most foreign media don't believe China can fulfill that level of commitment. As Chinese consultancy company on agricultural markets, JCI strongly believes that China has the ability and will fulfill its promise, the company says. JCI estimates that China can buy approximately $41.3 billion worth of U.S. farm products every year, including around $18.7 billion worth of soybeans, which would amount to 45 million tons. The projections from JCI were based on what they say was a careful study of China's import volume of U.S. farm products in the past and does assume favorable weather and pricing throughout the term of this agreement. Moving on into national and even some state ag news, inland waterways funding got a boost in the just-enacted catch-all fiscal year 2020 spending bills. That's good news for advancing the modernization of the upper Mississippi and Illinois River locks, which are key for agriculture. Army Corps of Engineers Civil Works is getting more than $650 million above the last fiscal year. More general funds are going into work ongoing with construction and more of Mississippi and tributary channel work. Waterways Council Senior Vice President Deborah Calhoun says all that is boosting expectations for the long-sought modernization of locks on the upper Mississippi and Illinois River.
Construction should begin in around FY24, I believe, for those projects on the upper Miss.
But Calhoun says even that's not guaranteed, despite Congress authorizing the work back in 2007. Still, she says increased funding for construction and planning work helps the Corps get to projects down the line, including the upper Mississippi.
And so we will begin to see then the next tranche of projects, which would include the Navigation and Ecosystem Sustainability Program, NESP, those upper Mississippi and Illinois waterway locks.
Raising hopes, the Army Corps' 2020 work plan, out in about 60 days, should include new planning, engineering, and design money for upper Mississippi locks modernization, so important for agriculture.
These locks are particularly important to the agriculture sector. And so if you recall back in August, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released a major study titled The Importance of the Inland Waterways to Agriculture. And so agriculture depends upon a modern and efficient and reliable inland waterways transportation system.
All the more reason. The latest Corps of Engineers funding at more than $6.7 billion, has now finally brought into view a start to replacing Midwestern locks, some of which are soon approaching 100 years old. Back to National Ag News now. Following a landslide vote to pass the USMCA in the House last week, the trade deal will now be heading to the Senate. A vote expected in January could come early in the month, depending on how the impeachment articles are handled. House Speaker Pelosi last week elected to hang on to those impeachment documents rather than sending them off immediately to the Senate. Depending on how long she chooses to hold them, the action could clear a window for the Senate to consider USMCA. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley Friday announced his committee intends to hold a markup hearing on January 7th. Based on the expectations that the Senate will have released the legislation beforehand from the House. Grassley says this markup will move us closer to ratifying USMCA in early 2020. Senate leadership expects they could quickly consider and pass the agreement within a couple of days. However, if the Senate must start the year with impeachment trial, then the vote will come near the end of January or early February following the hearing. In our last national story today, the U.S. government jumped onto a California court case that found glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, causes cancer. The Environmental Protection Agency filed a friend of the court brief last week that said it reviewed and approved the label on the weed-killing product and that a jury finding based on California law should be reversed. Even the Department of Justice joined the EPA in weighing in on the ruling in the long-running court battle over Roundup. Over the summer, the judge in the case cut the jury award to $25 million in the case of a man who claimed his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was caused by years of Roundup usage. However, the judge did not reverse the jury finding in the case, saying in his opinion that Roundup was defective because the label did not include a cancer warning. Back in May, the EPA issued a statement saying it continues to find no risk associated with glyphosate if it's used following the current label and that glyphosate is a non-carcinogen. Bayer, which acquired Monsanto, the company that originally produced Roundup, was optimistic after the latest legal turn in the case, saying the company is encouraged after the U.S. government and other parties opted to support the company's appeal. Moving on into some Christmas news. The Christmas tree, more specifically, the Christmas tree industry, has changed and evolved considerably over the last 40 years. In the middle of that evolution is Washington State University's Gary Chastigner, who is known as Dr. Christmas Tree. He notes one of the biggest changes came in the form of consolidation and bankruptcies triggered by the 2008 recession.
The choose and cut industries around urbanized areas and stuff, such as the Puget Sound, they're doing fairly well. And right now the prices are very good because of increasing demand and lower inventory as a result of the downturn after 2008. And it takes a while for the industry to ramp back up.
Another notable change is the tree itself. Chastigner says when it started at WSU in the late 1970s, more than 90% of the trees were Douglas fir, but that has changed with the rise in popularity of other varieties such as Nobel and Fraser fir.
Some of the other ones that are increasing, like Nordman and Turkish fir, species have very desirable characteristics, strong branches that will hold ornaments, and in general they have fairly good keepability, particularly when they're displayed in properly displayed in water-holding stands.
Chastigner says, like other growers, the Christmas tree industry continues to struggle with labor and transportation costs. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, Aaron Johnson was named Farm Credit Illinois' president and CEO by the cooperative's board of directors. Johnson serves as interim CEO, has served as the interim CEO since September following the passing of former CEO Tom Tracy. With nearly 35 years of farm credit and banking career experience, Johnson first joined the farm credit system in 1985. Following a successful lending and field management career based in Farm Credit's Pontiac and Decatur offices, he joined the association senior management team in 2002 and was named as executive vice president in 2014. Johnson is a native of New Holland in Logan County and earned an organizational business management degree from Illinois State after attending Lincoln Land Community College. Aaron is a member of the Farm Credit Foundation's Trust Committee, which provides fiduciary oversight of the Human Resources Collaboration, serving more than 89,000 Farm Credit employees in 30 states. Aaron and his wife Debbie reside in Monticello, and they have 3 children and 3 grandchildren. Finally, in state ag news, even though the month of December is ending with mild conditions, Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford expects a more active weather pattern as we move into January through the spring.
Looking out in the next few months, it looks like there will be more active systems coming through. And so the outlooks from the Climate Prediction Center, like I mentioned, for January and then 3-month averages going all the way out to May still show elevated chances of above normal precipitation. So that just means that our odds are tilted towards a wetter than normal winter and spring. A lot of that's based on long-term trends. We've seen winters and springs over the last, 10 to 30 years in Illinois get wetter and wetter. And that's really what's hedging those outlooks. So as I mentioned, coming into the winter here with a drier than normal November, drier than normal December, hopefully get us near normal, if not slightly below normal moisture conditions so that we can retain some of that moisture that falls in the spring and deal with it a little bit better than we were able to last year.
Ford says the month of December has been drier than normal and temperatures have actually been near normal, with the beginning of December a little bit colder than normal and the end of the month, right now, quite a bit warmer than normal. And that will wrap up this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show, but remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us. Or if you have any ag community bulletin boards, you can also email that to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Christmas Eve morning, Tuesday, December 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.